Consent. Consent. I am consenting. See, consent is a living, breathing. Charlotte, don't forget to breathe. A living, breathing word that ignites my physical, mental, spiritual notions that it's time to engage now, now, now. I'm ready. And the stage lights come up. With these words, Sherelle Hessel Gordon, director of the DC Rape Crisis Center, begins her May 2014 TEDx talk at Foggy Bottom. Take a moment to breathe. Breathing in, I'm powerful and in control. Breathing out, I know that I am the expert of my own personal space. The mission statement of this congregation is a safe community for seeking and service. Is that true all of the time for each and every one of us? Have there been times when you haven't felt 100% safe? Times when our personal boundaries have been trespassed? Times when we have been the trespasser? I can admit that I have been guilty already in my first year as your minister of trespassing boundaries. That's why this congregation developed a covenant of right relations. It's why, as members of this community, we call each other back into covenant when we have broken the promises we have agreed to for what is appropriate behavior with each other. The truth is, we cannot guarantee a completely safe community. But we can promise each other to always be striving for a safer community for seeking and service. We, each of us individually and all of us collectively, can work on making this a safer congregation for all types of people to be included here. It starts by assuming that every possible person, each one uniquely themselves, is already here in our midst, whether you know it or not. What we say and how we act matters. Our words and gestures affect others, whether we are aware of the impacts or not. Take the lyrics of the Beatles song that Michelle played for the prelude this morning. I wonder if when John Lennon and Paul McCartney said, "I want to hold your hand," if in addition to expressing their feelings, they were also asking permission of the person whose hand they wanted to hold. There's an implicit assumption made that the person being sung to feels the same way too. But do we know this to be true? As you experienced with this morning's Time for All Ages activity, or maybe you didn't, I don't know, we need to negotiate our interactions with people. Even greeting them requires clear communication. Asking, "May I? Is it okay with you? What about, is it okay with myself?" Were your family members huggers or not? Some yes, some no. How did you feel about being told, as a classic example is, to hug your grandmother, to give her a hug when you saw her? Did you have to give yourself permission to say no? How many of you have not known quite what to do when meeting a person whose cultural upbringing is different from your own? It could be that you were brought up to shake hands, for example. Very polite and Midwestern, shake hands. But for many traditionally raised Muslims or Orthodox Jews, it is inappropriate for men and women who are not family members to touch each other. I've been taught this, so I know not to extend my hand in that situation if I know what their religion is. I must be aware and read the nonverbal cues as well as hear the verbal ones. Unlike Shel Silverstein's The Giving Tree, in Victoria Weinstein's The Demanding Tree, the boy asks for things from the apple tree, and the tree actually says no. Because the tree says no, she's not diminished by the boy. The tree shares what she's comfortable sharing. Apples, shade, a place to rest. She gives consent to doing and being who she is. She is autonomous. She does not give in to the demands and requests of the boy at any stage of his life. Thus, she will outlive him rather than becoming a mere stump for him to sit on in old age. You remember that picture, right, at the end? What would the story look like if the boy were actually asking rather than demanding? May I? You see, each of us, like the story's apple tree, has body autonomy. We are experts of our own personal space. Our personal boundaries are our own. They are self-created, they need to be respected, and they can change. Maybe today my personal space is this big. Maybe it's this big. There is a teaching video that you can find on YouTube called Tree Consent. I suspect our OWL attendees may have seen it. It shows by means of the analogy of asking someone if they'd like a cup of tea the importance of asking for consent. A person's desire for a cup of tea is self-determined. It may change in the time it takes to provide that cup of tea, going off and brewing it and coming back with a full cup of tea. That person might have already decided they don't want it. And you aren't going to pour a cup of hot tea down someone's throat when they don't want it. Find the video. Consent is the right to say yes or no at any time about anything at all. So often the topic of personal boundaries and consent are attached to physical interactions, any kind of touch. It doesn't have to involve sex or other intimacies. But it also applies to verbal ones, too. As Unitarian Universalists who try to live by the guidelines of our seven principles, we ought to recognize that consent is about having healthy boundaries that respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person, every living, breathing being. Consent is about sovereignty. It is about power and control. Where does the power lie? Who is in control of our bodies? Everyone has a say in what we do is how a version of our seven principles written in less complex language expresses the fifth principle about the use of the democratic process. I like it because I can interpret that principle more broadly to mean that not only do people get to voice their opinion, they may make a choice. And it doesn't have to be about the budget or who will be our leaders. It can be about whether we want a cup of tea, to be a ballet dancer or a baseball player, or to receive a hug. Teachers who work with elementary school-aged children know that kids understand that consent is saying yes to letting someone do something, That could be about participating in an activity or sharing a toy or some food. It might be about passing along what someone told you, a secret that they shared with you. Did they say you could? Better ask. Were you tickled as a child? Was it something that you liked? I see some heads shaking. Nope. I didn't like it. I still don't. Don't ever do it. It was, and it is, physically uncomfortable. I remember asking not to be tickled, telling the person who was tickling me to stop. And the same thing went for teasing. It didn't feel good. It still doesn't. We are all wired differently. We all have different experiences in our past that inform how we feel and what our boundaries are. For some of us, any touch of any kind is as uncomfortable as being tickled was and is for me. Maybe it's like that all of the time. Maybe it's only like that some of the time. Maybe it's because of our neurology. Maybe it's because of our trauma history. Maybe it's because we aren't feeling 100% healthy today, in this moment. Not just, I have a cold, don't come near me. There are other physical things that happen that you can't see or hear. How are you going to know if it's okay without asking first? So, I'm well aware of how important and healing physical touch can be for sentient beings, such as our very human selves. However, I cannot just assume that what feels good to me is going to feel good to another person. Yes, I'm a hugger. You probably noticed, as did an older member of my first internship congregation, who then exclaimed about me to my supervising minister. She's a hugger. It was so important to her. But I know that not everyone is. I don't assume. I try, and sometimes I fail to ask permission. And I'm so grateful to the people this morning who already asked permission. I'm trying to be more aware of it myself. I'm asking that you all do the same. It actually doesn't matter how long or how well you know the other person. There may be something going on with them that you are not aware of, and in this moment, they don't want a hug. They want to have a different boundary. Remember, boundaries can change. They need to be respected, and they are self-created. It's related to the covenant language about assuming good intentions. Yes, the person who wants to give you a fist bump or a high five or a hug may only have the best of intentions, such as letting you know that they like you and care about you. But what is the impact of that action? Maybe it hurts physically, emotionally, spiritually. We need to take responsibility for the impact of our words and deeds. One Sunday, I observed an unrelated adult putting an arm out around a young person's shoulder as they turned to go back to their seats. Although it was a caring gesture and probably came from long habit, it was not a welcomed gesture. That touch, innocent of all ill intent as it was not comfortable to the young person. It doesn't matter why that is the case. It only matters that it was. If permission had been asked, the answer, I am quite sure, based on what I saw, would have been no. And the adult would have been respectful. But without asking, there was no respect. In another example from worship together, it's easy to get into the habit of reaching out to take a hand of the person on either side of you in the pews near the end of our weekly service. It's seen as an expression of our caring community. We all love each other here. You didn't have any problem saying hi this morning. Okay? But even though we would be one, even now as we finish our communal worship and go our separate ways for the next week, there are people for whom, for a variety of reasons, this is not comfortable. It might be because of physical concerns. It might be because of emotional or neurological needs. It might be for religious reasons. Or it might be because someone is here as our guest for the first time and simply doesn't feel comfortable with the intimacy of grasping another hand. Your participation is always voluntary. You have the right to be asked and to say no or yes. You may choose to signal this non-verbally. Maybe you do this by putting your hands in your pockets or in your armpits. Not holding hands. However, the obligation to ask permission is on each of us. The obligation is to accept the other person's verbal and nonverbal response as valid. Do not question the response. Accept that they are in control of their personal space. Their personal boundaries are theirs alone to create and change as their wants and needs change, just as yours are. Consent, consent, consent. I am consenting. As Sherelle Hessel Gordon illustrated with the opening to her talk about the privilege of consent, consent is something that involves our whole being, and it is ongoing. It's time to engage now, now, now. Consent is an active word, an action we engage in as we move in the world. It is applied to our lives from our very first days until our very last breaths. It's a living, breathing word. Consent is operative even when we are unable to actually give consent by virtue of the fact that its absence is also a clear no. Let us continue to have a mission that makes Brew a safer community for all who may be seeking or wanting to be in service to the interdependent web of all existence of which we are but a part.